When I was a kid, I always thought this Palm Sunday parade was spontaneous. After all, nobody rented a shiny convertible for Jesus. No vendors sold balloons or flags or glow sticks. Nobody lined up the fire trucks. It always seemed to me like it was sudden and unplanned. I want to suggest to us this morning that the parade might have been strategic. It definitely set up the conflict between Jesus and Rome. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, in their book, The Last Week, What the Gospels Really Teach About Jesus' Final Days in Jerusalem, they say, there were two processions entering Jerusalem on a spring day in the year 30. One from the east, largely composed of peasants following a certain Jesus from Galilee, riding a donkey down the Mount of Olives. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, approaches the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, entering the city on a war horse, at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. He has come from Caesarea Maritima for the purpose of maintaining law and order during the potentially tumultuous days of the Jewish festival of Passover. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God, while Pilate's procession proclaimed the power of the empire. Now, this parade heightens the contrast between these two men, Pilate astride a mighty horse, Jesus riding a humble donkey, Pilate surrounded by soldiers, a show of Rome's military might intended to strike fear in its citizens, Jesus accompanied by his disciples, followers from Galilee and the towns and villages nearby, including Jericho and Bethany. The people Jesus had healed, the people Roman society did not care about, the people labeled misfits and outcasts. In Jesus' time, more than 90% of the population was rural, employed in industries including farming and handling raw materials, and most of them were illiterate. Imagine how the elite of Rome felt seeing this rabble hail Jesus as Savior and King. And celebrate him they did. The scripture says they threw their cloaks on the road and they cut down branches, all to show him honor. This impromptu red carpet treatment was a symbol for royalty, protecting their feet from becoming soiled on the dusty roads. As Sam's monologue suggested, lots of people turned out to see what was happening. But many of those celebrating this day would fade away as the week rolled on and the tension in Jerusalem built, as Jesus debated with Pharisees and scholars, as he overturned tables in the temple, as he washed his disciples' feet, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. Celebrating Jesus, that parade, that was fun. That was easy. But sticking with Jesus was harder. It was a challenge. It was dangerous. Peering at the picture that shows us not only the road to Jerusalem, we also see the road that leads all the way to the cross and even beyond, leads to resurrection. There's a hymn in The Faith We Sing by Herman Stumpfel. It captures so well this moral dilemma, to follow Jesus or not to follow. Stumpfel asks, would I have answered when you called, come follow, follow me? Would I at once have left behind both work and family? Or would the old familiar round have held me by its claim and kept the spark within my heart from bursting into flame? The challenge of the first Palm Sunday is still our challenge today. Do we stand at a distance, or do we go all in for Jesus? Is Jesus a good moral teacher, an example, a role model, or is he for us something more? Is he our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son of God? Are we like Sam, standing on the rooftop of a house, keeping a safe distance from Jesus, waiting and watching to see what's going to happen? Or do we match our steps with his on the highway that leads through the city to the cross and beyond? Jesus invites those who would walk with him to live as he lived, giving of themselves for others. And that means a lot of things. It means more than dropping our spare change in the charity bucket on the convenience store counter or giving what's left over at the end of the month. We are called to give God the best of our first fruits. In financial terms, the biblical guide is a tithe, 10% of our income. But it's more than financial giving Jesus asks of us. It is also our time and also our talents, our words as well as our works. It's more than praying for those in need. It's putting our faith into action to make the world a better, more just place. And it is risky, even dangerous, because it goes against the norms of society. Norms that say don't rock the boat, don't upset the hierarchy, don't challenge the status quo, not even to stand with those who dwell at the margins. But we who claim the name of Christian, who follow in the steps of Jesus, we are called to embrace abundant life for ourselves, but also abundant life for all God's people, which requires of us justice and equity, grace and forgiveness, mercy and unconditional love. That's what makes for life. That's what the season of Lent gives us the chance to do. Empty ourselves of the things that are in the way of living fully, so that when we reach the end of this Lenten road, we can celebrate Easter with Jesus and rise into new life ourselves. In the musical Hello, Dolly, widow and matchmaker Dolly Levi has an epiphany moment. She realizes life is passing her by, and she sings, "Before the parade passes by, I've got to get in step while there is still time left. I'm ready to move out in front. Life without life has no reason or rhyme left. I want to feel my heart come alive again. I've got to get some life back into my life." How about you? Are you still standing on the rooftop, watching the Jesus parade from a safe distance? Or are you ready to join the parade, embrace life, go all in with Jesus to the cross and to the new life that lies beyond it? Picture yourself in his story. Amen.